Tell me, Professor Futzfutz, when Lady Chatterley invented the flying ace, Archibald Butterfield Smith, was the purpose primarily for patriotic propaganda? To inspire working-class youths to join up and fight the Huns?
Lady Chatterley and I had a discussion about that very thing, Calpurter. Now here's where Sir Boots Wellington re-enters the story.
But wasn't Lord Wellington placed in a sanitarium after he'd found his mistress, the notorious Prussian spy Marlena Blitzkrieger, in bed with his good friend Sir Basil Hound of Scotland Yard?
Sir Boots did recover, and that is a rather interesting story in itself.
Lord Wellington was Lady Chatterley's superior, but while he was locked away in a sanitarium, who was in charge?
No one.
But Lady Chatterley is known as a cornucopia of ceaseless mischief. Don't tell me she was free to do whatever she wanted.
Let's let Lady Chatterley speak for herself, shall we?
Farking, it may seem quaint to you, but I am rather fond of my dear old chief, Boots Wellington. Now that he's been sent to a Scottish sanitarium for the slightly insane, I have free rein to do whatever I want. Sir Boots can no longer take the blame for my, shall we say, miscalculations.
What are you saying, Lady Chatterley?
Farking, Sir Boots covered my back. He was my guardian angel.
I didn't realize you felt that way about your superior.
This business of dirty tricks we pranksters are constantly called upon to perform, it does take its toll.
I understand, but why?
Hear me out, Farking. What I'm about to tell you is a state secret. Keep it that way. Or at least until someone has won this beastly war.
You have my utmost discretion, Lady Chatterley.
As I was about to say, the character I created, Archibald Butterfield Smith, was actually based upon a young Reginald Boots Wellington.
Oh, I thought he sounded a little like Sir Boots.
When I visited the sanitarium, I had a meeting with the head psychiatrist, Dr. Werner Evershoppen. His analysis was simply this. Sir Boots isn't merely a man with a broken heart. He has lost all sense of self-esteem. He has lost his panache.
Oh, my, not his panache.
Oh, yes. Evershot Penn felt that if Sir Boots could identify with the heroic deeds of Archibald Butterfield Smith, that somehow, someday, through modern psycho-quackery, Sir Boots would make a transference and become the hero of his own story.
So Archie was really based on Sir Boots?
Well, that and young Nigel, who is a member of the Pranksters. But tell me, Farking, did you notice that Archie's flight commander, Reginald Watkins Jones, sounded exactly like Sir Basil Hound?
I thought I had heard that voice somewhere.
I made him into an unlikable fellow, so Sir Boots could direct his anger and frustration toward a loathsome superior officer.
Very, very clever, Lady Chatterley. And all of this will unfold in further Penny Dreadful episodes of Archibald Butterfield Smith's Flying Zombie Circus?
It will, and each new issue will be slipped beneath the door of Sir Boots' padded cell.
Fascinating, utterly fascinating, Futzfutz. Now, may we get on with another exciting episode of Archibald Butterfield Smith, English Flying Ace?
Of course. As you may recall, in episode 1 entitled Against All Odds, the young Archibald dropped his bombs on the Wolf Blahunger works deep in the heart of the enemy, and he returned without a scratch.
Our base had been monitoring the fearful radio messages from the German ground forces, telling of a zombie flying a twin-winged slop with popsicle spattered with brains and blood. Of course, Butterfield Smith had been flying so low, he had been pelted by tomatoes and cauliflowers while passing over the Prussian farmlands. The krauts thought we had created a flying zombie circus. No one dared shoot him down. They feared that since he was already dead, he'd simply climb out of the wreckage and proceed to eat their brains. It's bad enough when zombies known as the Walking Dead stagger after you on the ground. At least you can easily outrun them. But when zombies come diving down out of the blue, you can't outrun the flying dead.
Oh, I like that. I'll use it as a title for my next episode. Nigel, take this down. You can't outrun the flying dead. Oh, I love it.
You can't outrun the flying dead. Ooh, that is quite creepy.
And also quite clever.
When Archibald Butterfield Smith realized the Germans believed we had a zombie army air force, he painted his plane dripping blood red. He wore a raggedy red splatter bullet-ridden flight jacket so he could look like a pilot freshly resurrected from the grave. He was now ready to once again take to the sky. His flight commander, Reginald Watkins Jones, was less than delighted with the publicity young Archie had been receiving. But the high command felt he could be best used for purposes of propaganda.
Butterfield Smith, we have a new assignment for you.
Yes, sir.
The high command was quite impressed by the way you destroyed the wolf plow in the works. They like that you're a loner. You dive in out of the blue and strike fear into the Heinie's cold heart.
Thank you, sir.
I've recommended you receive our newest plane, the Slathrop Raven.
I say, sir. I've heard the Raven is as maneuverable as the devil and can climb like a monkey.
So I've heard. But it has yet to be tested in combat.
The Raven will be a splendid match for Count von Kluck's Pelican Fork U-2.
Stay away from von Kluck. That is an order.
Are you saying I should turn tail and run?
The Raven may be a match for the Pelican, but you are no match for von Kluck. Is that understood?
Yes, sir.
Good. Now, here is your flight plan.
Die fliegenden Toten. The flying dead? Damn. Das ist gut.
As I mentioned before, Ludwig von Snipe, now stationed as a spy in Paris, loved reading the English penny dreadfuls, especially the stories written by Elsie Lawrence, which was the pen name of Lady Chatterley. He didn't realize that the character of the flying ace, Hans von Kluck, was based upon von Snipe himself.
Gadsooks, that was clever of Lady Chatterley.
Von Snipe instantly identified with von Kluck. In fact, he began to believe he could one day be as great an ace as Hans von Kluck.
I will shoot down that Butterfield Smith son of a bitch.
Von Snipe so identified with the German war ace that he forgot von Kluck was a fictional character invented by Lady Chatterley. He was merely one of her puppets.
Of course, it was the author who was pulling the strings.
It seems as though everyone she'd ever met found their way into her story.
Including you, Futsfoot?
Oh, yes, and you too, Cowputter.
What? Surely not.
Oh, yes, we were all ink fodder for her pen.
But Lady Chatterley doesn't know me.
You are a published historian, Cowputter. She's read your book. She knows your style. She even knows who you really are.
Oh, dear me.
But before we continue with the next episode of Archibald Butterfield Smith, which happens to be entitled You Can't Outrun the Flying Dead, let's look in on Lady Windermere, who was at that time in Paris.
Bonjour.
Lady Windermere?
Ah, Herr von Snipe.
No, this is Herr Siegmund Snipe.
Oh, yes, of course.
I have good news. Your cuckoo is now fixed.
You're referring to the Blackamoor cuckoo?
Yeah. When can you come by my shop?
Tonight.
Good. Say 7:00 ticka-tacka.
I'll be there.
In 3 days, der Sultan will be visiting Venice.
Where will he be staying?
The San Clemente Palace.
What is his itinerary?
On Wednesday, the Sultans will be viewing Venice from a flotilla of gondolas.
So, he'll be using multiple decoys.
Yeah, but there is a way to identify who is the real Sultan, Abdullah Othman Ottoman.
And that is?
His ring.
The fake sultans aren't wearing rings?
They are. But there is a difference between the rings of the Sultan and his decoys.
And what's that?
A cartouche, an oval ring with the Sultan's name spelled out in Arabic.
Sultan Abdullah Okman Ottoman Man, they can fit that on a ring.
It may be abbreviated.
Oh, you mean simply Gollywog?
yeah, that's a good one.
Are you saying the impersonators are also wearing oval rings, but the Arabic script doesn't spell out the Sultan's name?
Exactly. Now here is the correct spelling, and here is the incorrect spelling.
You're joking.
Can you not see the difference?
Well, yes, of course, but how the hell am I going to get close enough to see who is wearing what?
You may observe the impersonators tend to flaunt their ring.
How many sultans will there be?
4, maybe 5.
Wonderful.
But there's another clue.
Oh, yes?
If any of his wives are with him, that will be the true sultan.
Because the real sultan would never let his wives near the decoys.
Exactly.
It figures. Well, Ludwig, I don't know how much help this will be, but at least I know where he is.
So, can we say now that I'm off the hooky?
Oh, all right. But Ludwig, don't double-cross me.
No, never.
Keep it that way. Cheerio.
Auf Wiedersehen, Lady Windermere. Thank you.